Guys, this is Matt Donald from the future, from the year 2070. I'm 79 years old. I know I don't sound it, but look, healthcare got really, really great in the future. But you know what didn't get great? Everything else. Nuclear war. Countries hate each other even more than they do now. Wealth inequality is up the wazoo. People are starving. Global warming has become global. Holy crap, it's really hot, Ing. It's terrible. But the consensus is that it's the way it is now because in this version of the future, not enough people subscribe to my Patreon account at patreon.com/MatthewDonald. Well, I've come back to try and fix that future from ever happening again. So if you like your future to be, you know, pretty good, like not great, but better than this, then subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for both my shows, The Ritwit and Paleobites. For the Paleobites bonus content, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals, and this month we're talking about Paraworld, a really obscure but really fun real-time strategy game from back in the day that has dinosaurs and people riding dinosaurs and robots and pirates and samurai and guns. It's been described as Dinotopia meets Warcraft, and that's quite an apt description, I'd say. Link is in the description for you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support, and have a lovely day. Sign up to the Patreon. Do it for the future! Now I gotta go back before the time police catch me.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast that's a real dino snore. My name is Matthew Dahl, and each week I'm the rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I'm joined by probably the fan favorite of the show, at least if my mom is any indication. please welcome Laura Owsley. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
That is actually my target demographic, is that I do really well with like middle-aged adults.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure she'd be flattered that you say she's middle-aged.
I know much better than to say anything else. Come on now.
And mom does listen to this podcast, so love you, mom.
Hi, Matt's mom. We have not met.
She's great. She loves your voice. So she thinks you have a great dynamic on this show. So anyways.
You really can't do this to me right before we start recording, in the early episodes. Yeah. Like this, my ego will be too big for this.
Well, then also the pressure will be on. You'll be like, I've got to be funny. I've got to make jokes.
Oh, I'm always funny.
Oh, that's true. It's just naturally true. Yeah, I guess
that's
true.
Right, come on.
Yeah. As opposed to, you know, me who like I have to like 100 episodes in now, and I'm like, how can I do a Welcome to Paleobites, the self-deprecating joke that's about themed around dinosaurs? How do I come up with 100 of these?
I mean, I'm pretty proud of you so far. You've done a lot of these.
Yeah, thanks. I've got a whole library of Welcome to Paleobites podcasts where blank, and like it's like I think I have another 50 more. Like,
that's honestly so impressive to me. Like,
yeah, like again, how many self-deprecating jokes theme around dinosaurs can we have here?
I feel like that should be like, you should share this as a Google sheet for the rest of the world and just let other people like plug in their own stuff.
Right. Ooh, smarts. Hey. And I'll be like, this one is submitted by Patreon.
Exactly. Like fan interaction.
Yeah, I would read you some of these, but one, I don't want to spoil them for future episodes, but two, I want you to hear them, you know, off the cuff when I say them.
Oh, yeah, and it's always fun for me to see where you're going to start the episode at.
Yeah, okay. Speaking of starting the episode at...
You know, one of our better transitions.
Okay, well, I guess dinosaur-related question. That's usually how we start our episodes at. Okay, oh, God, I had a really good one that I remembered I was going to say. I was like, what was that?
I'm so proud of you.
I remembered. I was like, this would be perfect to ask Laura.
I do that probably once a week. They'll like be in the shower or something. I'm like, I thought of a great thing to say.
I follow the Twitter profile Shower Thoughts.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah. You follow them too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Man. Okay. Okay, there we go. If you could, if a dinosaur were to spontaneously come to mind in a shower for you, if you were to, like, what is the dinosaur most likely for you to have a shower thought about, do you think?
So this is not an After Dark question, just to be clear.
I mean, look, you do you in the shower, but, okay.
No, let's see.
And I know the likelihood of you thinking of any dinosaur in the shower is, like, slim to none, but out of those slim to none, what is the most likely?
Okay, then, like, let's, like, narrow it down to, like, what dinosaur would be, like, most akin to the yellow rubber duck I have in my shower?
Probably, based on, you know, how evolution works and the right. definition of dinosaurs, the duck itself.
Le gasp.
Le gasp. That's the way the French gasp.
It's like the meme cries in Spanish.
Okay, well, if you're talking about actual prehistoric creatures, there was a Hesperornis, which is like a prehistoric... It's not a duck, but it kind of looks like a duck.
Okay.
It's huge.
I love that. Have you seen... There's a very old stand-up bit that went viral a very long time ago. This is great content.
Oh, was it the one about, like, you all the rubber ducks?
Yes.
Yes, and it's
he, like, tortures his poor roommates with getting, like, hundreds of rubber ducks until he gets one that takes up the entire...
Yeah, because they're like, okay, you can only have one rubber duck. Like, oh, well, one rubber duck, huh? It's just this giant one. Yeah.
I think about that probably twice a week. That's, because
it's pretty funny.
Right? And my roommate and I have a pretty good relationship, but at the same time, my, like, more petty side of me, whenever he says something, I'm like... I'd really love to take this, like, to the max to really annoy you right now, Jesse.
Like, if that happened to me, I'd just be nervous to go to the bathroom because I'd be like, what duck mayhem is waiting for me in here?
This is fair. This is fair. And, you know, the more I think about it, the more I think that I don't have an excuse because there is, like, a half bath in my apartment.
You don't have an excuse except for, you know, do you have money to buy all these ducks?
Well, no, but I assume that, like... I could steal them or rent them? Or
you know, go look at garage sales. I'm assuming people are giving away their ducks. Now, granted, they'll all be different ducks, I assume.
Although, I think that's a good thing, though, right?
Well, the whole thing with that skit was that they're all the same duck. Just different sizes. Although, I guess there really isn't that much variety. They're usually all yellow. They're usually all kind of the same shape.
And some of them have, like, hats and stuff. But, like, aside from that, like...
Why are rubber ducks yellow? Have you ever seen a yellow duck?
You know, I don't know if I have. That's a... Gosh, diddly dang darn good question. I'm trying to swear less on Matt's podcast.
Yeah,
so
swear away. I guess it's true. It's right for my sake to stop the velociraptors from coming.
Also, I've already used my, like, one great bit on the I can say whatever I want, and then a whole series of swear words followed by the word poop.
Yep, I remember that. That was great. That was f***ing great.
It's my f***ing best content.
Yeah. Yeah. That's on there. There's all the edits there.
Okay. There we go.
All right.
That's all we're allotted
anyways,
for this season.
Speaking of... okay, here's... Well, you know, ducks are kind of like flamingos.
Yeah, they're like aquatic birds.
They're short-legged, short-necked flamingos.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
aren't pink. They're no pink ducks.
Are there not?
Are there?
I don't know.
I was just about to Google other yellow ducks, and I'll have to add to the list of their pink ducks.
Well, flamingos are kind of, like, more white than pink, depending on their diet.
That's true. I guess if those ducks did eat the shrimp, they would turn pink. Also, I wondered, if we eat the shrimp, what would happen?
Would we turn pink?
Yeah. Would our skin turn pink, or would our hair turn pink?
I'd assume our skin, because, like, if you eat too many, like, carrots, your skin can get a little yellow.
Yeah, I've seen the Magic School Bus. Yeah.
Yes.
So, where I think Ralphie or Arnold turns orange or something. I forget. Like,
thank you for immediately calling me out on, like, it's not like Laura read this in some research paper. She watched the Magic School Bus at age 9 and took this as her entire science.
Yep,
like, education.
That's how 90s kids got their science. Either Magic School Bus or Bill Nye the Science Guy.
I didn't have a, like, regular science class until, like, 9th grade. So, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
Anyways, well, we're not talking about a flamingo. We're talking about a pterodactyl that's like a flamingo.
Yeah.
We're talking about Pterodostro.
Or
Southern Wing, the Austro, like Australia.
Huh. Like, are they native to Australia?
No.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to where they're native to, though.
Okay. So I did do a little bit. I looked up a picture of this particular creature, like, right before I came here.
Oh, really?
And it had it standing, like, next to a giraffe. And if this, like, measurement is accurate, it's freaking huge.
Ooh, so what you're talking about there is Quetzalcoatlus, which is not this, but is another pterodactyl that is by far the biggest one. And yeah, like, it, like, that one, like, has a 40-foot wingspan, but we think that was kind of mostly terrestrial. And yeah, when it stood on the ground, it was the height of a giraffe.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah, this one's not that, though. This type, it is a... Oh, God, no words should start with the letter C and then T, except for Cthulhu. This type is a tin-chasmated pterodactylid, a group of pterosaurs known for their distinct filter-feeding teeth. Yeah, thank you for verifying for me. Okay, size. Okay, so Quetzalcoatlus had a 40-foot wingspan. This had an 8.2-foot/2.5-meter wingspan.
Okay, I mean, that's still freaking huge.
Yeah, like the great blue herons that I sometimes see here have a 6-foot wingspan, and sometimes I'm like, boy, they should be that big.
They should not be that big. Even, like, sometimes just going to the Denver Zoo, I'm looking at some of the, like, eagles and stuff, and I'm like, holy crap, that thing is huge.
Well, and also, like, those eagles, like, they're usually just sitting there. Like, yeah. And that's, like, if we ever see them spread their wings, like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like,
God. Birds are crazy, man.
Well, like... they're dinosaurs. They're modern dinosaurs.
I know.
Yep. Diet omnivore for Pterodostro.
Okay.
Time early Cretaceous, 106 to 104 million years ago. Location, Argentina is where they're from, actually.
Oh, okay.
So still the South.
Still South America instead of the other side of the country.
Have you ever... Yeah, the other side of the world. Yeah, the other side of the
country. That's what I meant.
You know, to be fair, it's better for you to say the... It's actually much more unifying to say the country of the world rather than, like, someone saying the country of Africa, which is a whole different...
Which is a whole different...
Yeah.
Have you ever met somebody who's like, well, technically, I'm from the United States, but I like to consider myself a citizen of the world. And you're like, okay, calm down, man. You've been to Paris, like, twice? Like, all right.
Like, yeah, I'm a man of the world.
Right?
You know, have you ever been to the Southern Hemisphere?
I have not.
Okay, here's a crazy fact I learned about the Southern Hemisphere that all the Southern Hemisphere listeners, actually I have quite a few listeners in Australia, so they can verify this for me. Moon is upside down in the sky in the Southern Hemisphere.
Well, the moon is also a circle. So, like, if it's upside down,
it's because
it's a circle.
It's no, like, you know, like the moon, like, you know, there's like those distinctive, like, craters.
Yes. Okay.
Like those distinctive, like the seas, what they call it, like.
Or we are the ones who are upside down.
I mean, you would be. That's why you're looking at it from the moon. So that's why it's upside down. The sun is. You're looking at it from a different angle, and I'm just like, whoa, that blew my mind.
I have seen the thing that's like what we think of as a crescent moon looks different in different parts of the globe.
Yeah.
Because obviously,
we're looking at it from different perspectives. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yep. Anyways, pterodactyl was described in 1970.
I only exist on this podcast to derail Matt.
Yes. Pop culture appearances, Jurassic World the game, the mobile game we always talk about in the show because it has so many freaking creatures, as well as an episode of Dinosaur Train and the documentary Sky Monsters.
Huh.
Yeah. Except this isn't really a that thing with the giraffe size thing. That's a monster.
I mean, this would still scare the crap out of me if I saw this today. Like,
yeah, I guess that's true. But here's the thing about, like, pterodactyls that, like, that Land Before Time doesn't tell you. Pterosaurs were not herbivores.
Oh.
They were not. Leaves are not very nutritious, and thus a diet of them exclusively does not provide enough energy for a flying animal.
Huh.
Some of them might have been fruit eaters, living off the sugar like modern parrots and toucans, but they also probably balanced their diet with insects and other protein sources.
I thought Petrie did, like, eat some bugs and stuff in the movie.
I don't remember. I remember in the first movie, which is all I've seen recently, because I'm sure the sequels do not hold up. But I remember he just ate leaves in that one and was just focused on eating leaves.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
I mean, Matt and I have a whole Patreon episode plug.
About Land Before Time. And one of these days, we'll probably do an episode on all the sequels, and I'll probably just lump them all into one episode because...
The mega episode of sequels.
Yeah, because there's 14 of them. And I am not watching all of them for that. I'm just...
Oh, We'll make it a marathon weekend. It'll be great. It'll be so fun.
Bring on the drinks.
Bring on the drinks.
No drinking games, though, just because that was 14 of them. Any amount of anything, we die.
Yeah, no.
But like, it'd just be to get us through it. So.
We just need, like, a regular stream of alcohol. No, like, crazy, like, anytime this character says this catchphrase, like, no. Just, like, refill my drink every, like, 48 minutes.
Yes,
like,
yes.
We'll be good.
Okay. So, in fact, large pterosaurs like the aforementioned Quetzalcoatlus were terrifying predators, able to pluck small dinosaurs off the ground and scavenge off the carcasses of larger ones.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so terrifying, actually.
Yeah.
That's so concerning.
Why? They're not around anymore.
That's fair, but, like... I was thinking, like, oh, like, it's like a flamingo, so it's got, like, this, like,
well, not
proper...
this one is.
Right.
Not Quetzalcoatlus, which is not the one we're talking about today, so.
Wait.
We're talking about Pterodostro. That's the 8-foot one.
Yeah, but you just said it was still eating small animals.
That was Quetzalcoatlus I was talking about.
Just kidding.
Yeah, so. But so how about, this is when I'm going to transition seamlessly into Pterodostro, but how about one that fed like a flamingo?
Oh, okay. Now we're back.
To the point that it might have actually been pink.
Really?
Yeah. Enter Pterodostro, a creature that has thick bristle-like teeth from its lower jaw, unlike any other pterosaur.
Huh.
This jaw was used to strain shrimp-like crustaceans, plankton, algae, and really small fish. Kind of like a whale, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah. Like it baleen. Just kind of like opens its mouth.
Yeah,
and...
just like filter feeding, yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. So, like,
mm-hmm.
them and then, like, The Good Place, right? Those
yes.
have, like, popularized eating a ton of shrimp.
I haven't seen The Good Place. I need to see The Good Place.
What? It's so good.
But it's about death, and I'm 30, and so I think about death a lot because I'm so close to it.
Right. Well, you are over the hill. Yeah. Sorry to break it to your friend.
Yep, it's all downhill from here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've got, what, 3-4 years left?
Yeah. You know that horror movie Countdown? Have you heard of Countdown?
Maybe?
It's a movie that came out a couple years ago. I've heard it's really bad, but it has a very intriguing premise. It's about an app that you download that tells you, it's a countdown of when you're going to die down to the second.
Oh, shit.
And it is supernatural, so it is always accurate.
Oh,
so,
great.
What if I looked at that thing and said, you got 3 years left? I'm like, well, velociraptor noise.
I mean, honestly, like, I feel like I would look at that and be like, you have, like, 15 years left. And I'd be like, really? I have 15? That's so much longer than I expected.
All right, so, where was I? Okay, so...
So it, like, filter feeds.
Yes, it filter feeds. Like flamingos, also had a long neck and torso. And paleontologist Robert Backer suggested that it might have even been pink, like a flamingo, due to feeding on a similar diet. So that'd be cool. I like Robert Backer. He wrote one of my favorite books, Raptor Red. It's like kind of a fiction, but that's like super accurate about a raptor that like just lives and like she has sort of thoughts, but it's like sniff, that's my kind, but nothing really more than that. So
okay, so like very rudimentary.
Yeah, like slightly anthropomorphized, but overall they're just animals. And
I don't know, like that sounds like almost basic, like. Pigs are supposed to have the same intelligence level as, like, a 3-year-old,
right?
Right,
yeah, yeah.
And, like, 3-year-olds, like, have a decent grasp onto, like, okay, like, this is my toy, that is, like, my mom, that is a different person.
Well, I have a 1-year-old. Well, I don't have a 1-year-old, I'm not a father. My sister has a 1-year-old.
This is going to be a very big reveal here.
Guys, I'm a dad!
He just found a child and took
it home. Because I'm still single, but I just found this child off the street. Or no, in the river, Moses style.
Moses style. Right, the river. Where the dinosaur was.
Yes.
Feeding off of the shrimp.
Yes, yes. Pterodostro pushed the child to me in the basket like this. We bestow this upon you.
So this was the other thing. Admittedly, I was looking at the wrong prehistoric creature, I realize now.
Yes.
I feel like it looks a little bit less like a flamingo to me and a little more like that like classic like pelican. Like the, or what's the bird that brought the babies?
Oh, the stork.
The stork.
Yes.
Thank you. I got a real stork vibe from
These are pretty stork-like.
Which, like, always reminds me, have you seen the, like, political cartoon from like the early 1900s that's yeah. the woman in the like proper attire or whatever, and this stork is coming with a baby and she's like beating it off with an umbrella.
That's pretty good. Anyways,
old-fashioned birth control.
So anyways, I like I like Robert Bakker. Like he wrote my favorite books, but plus he's also the rival, the main arch enemy of the show, Jack Horner. Have you heard me talk about Jack Horner on this show?
Not even a little bit.
Oh God! Oh, you call yourself a listener? Nah, it's okay.
I'm a listener. I just also have no long term memory.
Yeah, Jack Horner. And so the enemy of the enemy is my friend. So welcome to the Cool Kids Club, Mr. Bakker.
Hey. Okay. You are welcome on this podcast anytime.
Yeah, Jack Horner. I guess you're welcome too. Like I like you're fine. You seem nice, but boy, your theories suck. And he likes to make controversy. You know the whole thing of like T-Rex being a scavenger, that whole theory?
Oh, yeah.
That was Jack Horner and Jack Horner alone.
Oh.
There was no evidence really for it, but he really pushed that idea.
So he's like the fake news of the like...
What he tries to do is like he doesn't want science to remain stagnant. So what he does is he like throws out ideas for it to like kind of keep it going and like...
Oh, interesting.
Which... I kind of get. And there is some basis behind some of them, but he's very stubborn about like, no, this is what it is. And
right.
So anyways, as well as being flamingos, pterodactyl was similar to geese and swans in that due to its long neck and short legs, it needed frantic and low angle takeoffs to achieve lift.
I know this is the wrong creature, but you say long neck and short legs, I always think of, I have a big head and small arms.
Yes, 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 the from, yes. Oh, that came out a lot in the 100th episode of...
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic moment in cinema.
Yeah. One of the defining moments, Rosebud, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Right.
I have big head and little arms.
Nobody's perfect. I have a big head and little arms.
That'll do, pig.
That'll do, pig.
And I've got a big head and little arms.
I mean, it's right up there. Great cinema.
Yeah.
Great cinema.
Man. Also, you know what? Here's an interesting thing about pterosaurs that most people do not know in terms of like takeoffs. Pterosaurs are unique in that they took off quadrupedally using all four legs.
Oh, God. That's kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
To see something like that, like running on all four legs and then like. Going just up into the...
Jumping
oh,
all at once.
Because,
like, pterosaurs, they, you know, a lot of people imagine pterosaurs as two-legged, like, it's kind of like birds, you know? You see them often, like, in old cartoons, like, standing upright with their wings up. No.
Yeah.
No, like, their wings and legs were connected. Like, they used the forelimbs mainly to flap them, but the flap of skin went all the way down to the knees. So...
Oh, weird.
So, and then when it walked on all fours. Kind of like a bat. Have you ever seen bats walk, you know?
No, and I have a sneaking suspicion that I'm going to be very terrified.
Yeah,
to see
they
a
don't
bat
they don't
crawling.
Stand up on two legs like a bird. They crawl. So, and this is kind of like that. So,
okay, but like, so little peek behind the curtain. We are recording this on October 1st, which is the start
true.
Of spooky season.
And this might come out not too long from now because this is episode 104. I think.
Oh shoot.
So. Yeah, because, like, that's why I wanted to record you pretty quickly, because I'm like, I need this pretty quickly. So it might still not, it might be...
And he needs at least 3 days to edit out all these tangents, anyway.
Yeah, 3 days of solid editing. Okay, so this will be October 19th is when this comes out.
Oh, shoot!
So...
Hello, future Laura.
Yes. Not too far in the future, though. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
This is spooky season, so...
It's spooky season, so, like, imagine, if you will...
Yes.
A haunted house... That's dinosaur themed.
Doesn't sound very haunted. It sounds great.
It sounds terrifying if you do it right. I think this could be very scary. Like Jurassic Park, but like...
Well, see, that's the thing.
A little less campy.
Maybe. I've asked you this several times on the show, and I'm assuming the answer is still the same.
Right.
You have not seen the last Jurassic World
movie.
No,
not even a little
bit. No. So the last... like, I've told you a bit about different bits about that movie throughout the show. Eventually, I'm going to tell you so much that you will basically have seen the movie already.
Exactly. I mean, that's my goal, actually, so I'll never actually have to watch the movie.
The last third of the movie is basically a haunted house, but with dinosaurs.
Oh, shit. So, I mean, it sounds like... Those producers copied my idea.
Yes. They went. They saw, heard this episode, went back in time.
Right. Time travel's probably a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you think all those dinosaurs come from for the movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Birds aren't real, guys. We've covered this before.
Yeah.
So really, all the birds we have are just the dinosaurs that came through the time travel portal. Like,
I mean, 80% of that sentence is correct. You lost me after the time travel portal. But birds aren't just dinosaurs, yes.
Honestly, 80% of any sentence I say being correct is pretty good for me. Like,
that sentence was 100% correct. So basically this thing, Pterodactyl, was like a mix between a flamingo, a goose, a swan, and a reptile, but more reptile than the other three things. Convergent evolution at work, baby.
Love it.
Yep.
Anyways,
also Pterodactyl was in that rare group club of prehistoric critters where we found not only eggs, but fossilized embryos within the eggs.
Oh, wild.
Yeah, something that requires the eggs to die without being eaten or destroyed by natural causes.
That's got to be incredibly rare.
Yeah, perhaps it fell into a lake and drowned, like the eggs did.
Oh.
So maybe a pterodactyl was too busy eating shrimp in the wetlands and getting pink and not realizing it was laying a bunch of eggs behind it.
I mean, honestly, who hasn't been there,
like,
right?
They plopped into the water like pellets of poop and died, and then boom, fossils.
And then boom, fossils. And you know what? Less responsibility.
Well, actually, no, that wouldn't be enough time for the yolk to develop into an embryo, but that's the only problem with that theory.
I mean, it sounds still pretty legit to me,
yeah.
So...
anyway, so this is the pink pterodactyl, Pterodostro, like a flamingo. Let's rate it 1 out of 65 million.
I rate it, I'm going to say 1 Jeremy Bear-me of giant flying shrimp.
I do not know the reference, and we don't have time to find...
The Good Place.
Oh, yes, of course. Okay. I'm going to rate it... God, your ratings always throw me off. I always just feel so bad. Like, for consistency's sake, I want to keep saying, you know, I'll rate it this million. But then I'm just like, but I want to do a wacky rating, so I have to do two ratings.
That's fair.
Okay, this is fair.
So
my normal rating, like 25 billion. I mean, it's cool. I got. I mean, okay, actually,
it's
maybe
not bad.
Maybe 30 million. You know, it's the fact that it's a pink pterosaur, that's pretty distinctive, you know?
Right, it's pink, and, like, you don't think of dinosaurs being pink.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, the Flintstones.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that. Okay. Okay, my wacky rating, I'm going to rate it that one segment from Fantasia 2000 about the flamingo with the yo-yo.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes.
That's a pterodactyl. I'm going to rate it 1 pterodactyl with a yo-yo.
1 pterodactyl with a yo-yo. I mean,
Fantasia, not that Fantasia, but Fantasia does have a segment just on dinosaurs. So, well, not just on dinosaurs, about prehistory. You remember that?
No.
I'm going to cover that for the Patreon at some point.
One of these days, I will also subscribe to your Patreon.
You know, money's tight, you know. man. All right, so that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattsd@matthewdonandcreator.com for your general questions to either co-host. You can follow me on social media at @matthewdonandcreator on Facebook, matthewdon64 on Twitter, and matthewdon64 on Instagram. You can follow, like, or I guess you could, like, you use that email to get a hold of any of the hosts of the show.
Yeah.
Some people here like to give off their Instagram. I don't know if you care.
Sure, yeah. I guess. If you want to follow me on Twitter or Instagram, it's @thespianlaura.
Yes, you're such a good thespian.
Thank you. As I have not actually worked on a theater production in, like...
Hey, you have a damn good excuse. Have you seen the world?
This is very true. It is.
Didn't you do a production, or, like, were part of a production that was, like, masks, though?
I did. I helped out for 2 weekends on a production
distancing
friendly.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, it's been before, obviously, the world exploded. The longest I had gone without a show in my life was, like, 6 months.
Yeah. Well, I remember, I think it was like...
maybe 4.
February of 2020, I saw your Scottsboro Boys,
Boys
thing. That was like just before the pandemic.
The Scottsboro Boys, yeah, we lost our like last weekend of performances, and everybody was like, we're going to bring it back in like a month and a half.
Once this all blows over. Go
support live theater, folks.
Yes, indeed. And man, a few months later, that show was more relevant than ever.
Seriously.
So,
DCPA, are you listening?
Yeah. Like, ACAB. Anyways, I can be political on this show.
I mean, it's your show, so like, hey, ACAB.
Yeah. Anyways, I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle. There is no pterodactyl in it, or cops.
Lame. Oh, but good.
There are, like, soldiers and military and other stuff. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. military can be used all right. It was all right during World War II when we actually had an enemy to fight.
It's true.
So rather than just, you know, fighting for oil or, you know, war profiteering, politics, guys, on your dinosaur.
I bring out the worst of this podcast.
No, you and Lawrence. The whole podcast would explode and the studio would set on fire if I had the two of you and me together.
Hear me out. Yeah. We have the two of us and you, and we record an episode, but we all have alcohol as well.
Oh, that sounds like a Patreon-exclusive waiting to happen.
If you want to see it, let us know.
All right. So, I also have another podcast called The Writ Wit, where two twits talk about writting. It's all right. I'm recording more of that tomorrow. All right. Well, that's it for this week. It's the end of every episode of Paleobites. I'm just mentioning filter feed. Like... Anyways, bye.